This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner, and time for our Friday State Capitol recap. We are 3 weeks into the new session, and things are getting back to normal, which is to say insanely busy. And that means CPR's Megan Verlee is insanely busy and joins us now from her Capitol office. Hi, Megan.
Hey, Ryan.
Two big bills got their first hearings this week. Civil unions on Wednesday, in-state tuition for undocumented immigrant students yesterday. I say first hearings, and let's be clear that that's for this year. Both of these bills have failed in past sessions. Did all go as expected in those hearings?
If by expected you mean pass their first committee vote after long hours of passionate testimony, then yes, it was totally expected. With majorities in both chambers and the governor behind them, these bills are pretty much guaranteed to become law. So the hearings were a bit shorter than past attempts, but to be honest, the testimony sounded essentially identical to what we've heard in past years. For supporters, it's a chance to showcase the righteousness of their cause. For opponents, this is their last chance to really rail against these policies. During the civil unions hearing, Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg focused a lot of his concern on whether the relationship the state is creating violates Colorado's constitutional ban on gay marriage. Here he is questioning Brad Clark, head of the gay rights group One Colorado.
Can you cite one difference in Colorado law between marriage and civil unions except for the name?
Mr. Clark?
Thank you. One of the examples is the inability to file joint state income tax together.
That's because that actually follows the federal pattern. Give me something that is truly a state issue, you know, because as I look at it, I see a carbon copy, a mirror image of marriage in Colorado law, and I'm just not seeing it, what you're saying, that there is such a big distinction.
Mr. Clark?
I would argue also that words do have value. And the ability to marry your partner is something that the state does give couples, the value in that word and the value in that recognizing that the dignity in that relationship that civil union simply does not.
Senator Kevin Lundberg there, a Republican from Berthoud, questioning gay advocate Brad Clark. So Megan, civil unions and in-state tuition for undocumented immigrant students grabbed the headlines this week, but any other big bills get hearings?
One that got drowned out by civil unions on Wednesday is a bill to allow professional firefighters in Colorado to unionize. Currently, to have that power, they have to be granted it by local voters. It passed its first hearing on a party line vote, Dems in favor, R's opposed. And it's a big deal for a couple of reasons. It's a big deal for firefighters because a lot of them right now have been told by local voters they can't organize. It's a big deal for local governments who see this as a huge overreach by state lawmakers and a potential new expense if they are forced into negotiating more expensive contracts. It's a big deal for other public employees, like police officers, who might demand the same power if firefighters get it. And it's a big deal for the business community, because if Democrats pass this bill, it'll suggest the legislature is now open to making big moves to strengthen the hand of organized labor. And the next time they visit that issue, it might be in the private sector.
And this has already been a controversial issue under the previous administration of Bill Ritter.
Yes, he got a bill pretty identical to this on his desk, passed through a democratically controlled House and Senate, and chose to veto it. It was part of ongoing issues with labor in the Ritter administration that I imagine Governor Hickenlooper is looking back at and very much not wanting to repeat.
Does this look likely to pass then or not?
I think this bill has one of the biggest question marks of the session hanging over it. It was supported unanimously by the Democrats on the Business Committee Wednesday. And like I said, the last time Democrats controlled both chambers, they passed a similar bill. But because that bill was vetoed in 2009, I think there are a lot of Democrats looking back at that as a lesson. Union bills have a way of turning into a political nightmare in this state. They definitely were for Governor Ritter, as I said. And, you know, it's pretty much a no-win for Governor Hickenlooper if this reaches his desk. If he signs it or if he vetoes it, he'll call down the wrath of one side or the other on his head.
Are Democrats the only ones running labor bills this session?
Oh, no. Republicans have probably introduced a half dozen bills restricting organized labor, bills that would make Colorado a right-to-work state where no one would be required to join a union as a condition of working someplace, some that would ban all public sector unions. And, of course, with Democrats in control, these bills have zero chance of passage. In fact, one of those measures was voted down right before the committee took up the firefighters' bill on Wednesday.
Earlier this week, a court in Denver ruled on a case that you and I have talked about before. This is the lawsuit between the Secretary of State, Scott Gessler, and the Denver clerk over whether she could send mail-in ballots to inactive voters. Those are people who didn't vote in the last big election. The judge ruled in Denver's favor. I remember, Megan, there was a bill last session that tried to clear all this up, but it failed. So are lawmakers going to take this issue up again this session?
It looks like they are. They may still be opponents in court, but Gessler and Denver County Clerk Deborah Johnson have been working together on a bill that would let clerks send mail ballots to voters who haven't been active in a while. And in return, clerks would be able to use, and in fact, I think required to use, more sources to keep their voter rolls up to date. Gessler's office says that was always what his opposition to sending ballots to inactive voters stemmed from, that the voter rolls were too messy to be sure those ballots weren't going to the wrong people. The bill is being negotiated behind the scenes, so we don't know what it will finally look like when it's introduced. But if it passes, it may finally end this fight that's been going on for years. And one thing I find kind of funny about this, Gessler refers to this bill as a compromise. That's what he told lawmakers a week ago. But the Denver clerk's office, when I called them, says they haven't changed their position and the secretary is just coming around to their way of seeing things. So even if the two sides end up agreeing on how to handle inactive voters, they still seem determined to disagree with each other.
We mentioned at the outset that things are insanely busy at the Capitol. Can you give us a picture of how long a state lawmaker's day goes on?
Well, it really depends on which committees they're on, how active they are. But, you know, an ambitious lawmaker could be here at 7:30 in the morning for an early morning committee meeting. And there are a couple committees that meet way in the early hours of the morning. They could be working all day. And then a hearing like the civil unions bill went till 6:30 on Wednesday night. But last year, when it was a more contentious piece of legislation, those hearings went all the way to midnight and beyond.
Megan, thanks so much for checking in with us.
Always fun.
Megan Verli covers the state capitol for Colorado Public Radio and joined us from her office under the Golden Dome. Her Twitter feed, at CPR Verli, is a great way to follow the ins and outs of lawmaking. We catch up with Megan Fridays during session.